Good morning, everybody. Pastor Mike here with another Watchman Pure Bible Study. Galatians chapter 2, verse 11. I want to deal with one issue here first, and then we're going to deal with the doctrine that Paul is going to establish now. He's actually not establishing it for the first time here in Galatians, but he is establishing it in Galatians as, this is how it is. This is the way I set it to be. I'm the apostle. You have to listen to me, okay? And he does. He does have that authority. He goes, Paul, an apostle, not of men. That's how he started the book out, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father. And he spent all that time in chapter 2 telling us where he got his doctrine from, or chapter 1, where he got his doctrine from, and where he learned it from. And he said, my teaching's not of men, it's of God. If we follow God, we follow Jesus Christ, then we follow his apostles. The church is built upon the foundation of the apostles, plural, Jesus Christ being the chief cornerstone. You look in heavenly Jerusalem, the new Jerusalem, the foundation of it is those 12 stones, the apostles. And so we follow their doctrine. We adhere to their teachings. I've had people write to me and say that Paul was a fraud. And somebody wrote and said they were convinced that the Apostle Paul was a fraud. He was a false apostle, false teacher. And what had happened was somebody had gotten to them with, guess what? Hebrew roots. Okay? And I can tell you, and I've said it before, Hebrew roots people hate the Paul of this Bible. So they try to rework him into something that he never was in here. He's Rav Shaul, Rabbi Saul. Well, Jesus said, nah, we don't call people that. Nah, you've got one master. You don't have all these other little masters. That's what the word rabbi means. But anyway, they make Paul and his epistles into everything except for what they say. Let's look at it, and I'll show you what I mean here. Galatians 2:11, but when Peter was come to Antioch, I withstood him to the face. That also goes to, like, you know, Peter being the first pope, you know, the infallible pope, and Peter always, you know, got everything right because he's the Pope. And Paul said, nah, you're wrong, Peter. Withstood him to the face because he was to be blamed. For before that certain came from James, he did eat with the Gentiles. But when they were come, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing them which were of the circumcision. You get what's happening, right? He's sitting and eating and fellowshipping with Gentile believers. James and other Jews show up. Peter jumps up from the table and goes over and stands, you know, when he's being Jewish with them. And all of a sudden, you know, the conversation comes up about the Gentiles. Peter's filthy animals. Yeah, I know they're saved, but I don't like it. He's playing both sides here, okay? And the other Jews dissembled likewise with him. People, if you're in a leadership position, you be careful. Even if you don't have the designation of being a leader, like a pastor or a Sunday school teacher or whatever. In every social circle, there's always somebody who's the mouth of that circle, sort of the leader. It just, kids, when they clump together in recess on the playground, there's always one kid that's kind of like the leader. There may be another kid that's trying to work the leadership over to them, but that's how it is. And if you're in that position, you be careful about your life, your mannerisms, your doctrine, what you say. There's a responsibility that goes with that. You stir people up toward things that are not true, there is a different judgment that God gives to those who are in authority or those who are leaders. And he says they dissembled with him, insomuch that Barnabas also was carried away with their dissimulation. Yeah, stinking Gentiles, hate to stink. Stink like pork and bacon and ham. What smells good? Verse 14. But when I saw that they walked not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel. We have the law. We keep the law. We don't sit with people who don't keep the law. The law said we don't have to sit with them. Paul said, you're not doing right. We live by the gospel. And we know they settled that in Acts chapter 15. And I'm not sure if this was before or after that. It may have been before that. Because then Peter, well, I don't know. It may have been after that. Because Peter then, according to Peter, was sitting with Gentiles already here in Galatians. So I don't know. But anyway, but when I saw that they walked not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel, I said unto Peter before them all, if thou, being a Jew, livest after the manner of the Gentiles. You hear that, you Hebrew roots people? Peter, the Jew, lived after the manner of the Gentiles. Paul chewed him out because he said, if thou being a Jew livest after the manner of the Gentiles and not as do the Jews, why compellest thou the Gentiles to live as do the Jews? Did you hear that? Go read that again. Okay? Get a King James, and then you can get all your Hebrew roots Bibles out, and you can say, well, that was paganized by the Greeks, and it was in the Greek, they paganized it, and if it was in the original Hebrew, it would have said something differently. Here's what it says. Why do you compel the Gentiles to live after the Jews? Why are you doing that, Peter? You didn't have a problem while all the Gentiles was there being, you know, Mr. Jew Gentile. You didn't have a problem sitting eating with them. You didn't have a problem fellowshipping with them until the Jews showed up. See, you know how Peter feels, right? Because we've all done things to save face with our people, right? And let's be honest, can we? We've all been around people of different races and try to get along with them because we're in their group. And then when we get in a group of people of our own race, and I'm not saying white people, I'm saying people of our own race because I think everybody does it. We always talk down about the people of the other races. We've got it. Listen, we have got so much no good stuff in us. It is a wonder that we're even saved. I mean, we are rotten. We are absolutely rotten in our flesh and in our minds. We're corrupt. There's no good thing in there. But the point is that Paul is chastising Peter, not only for being double-faced and stirring up the Jews against the Gentiles. Paul loved them. Paul loved the truth. And that gospel is that they're justified without the works of the law, Peter. Do you remember that? That they had the same Holy Spirit that you got. Remember on the day of Pentecost when you were speaking Phrygian? Remember that? And now these people, you heard them at Cornelius' house speaking in tongues just like you did. And that proved to you that God doesn't respect anybody's person. So it doesn't matter what race they are, Peter. It doesn't matter if they're Gentile or Jew or whatever. They are all children of God. That's the first thing Paul's dealing with. The second thing he's dealing with is, here's Peter compelling the Gentiles to live after the manner of the Jews. That is the Hebrew roots at the core. Because every one of the Hebrew roots adherents have been told in their mind something that I have never read in the scriptures. And that is the only proper way to understand the gospel and the Bible. Because it was all written by Jews with a Hebrew mindset. They keep saying a Hebrew mindset. It was done with a Hebrew mindset. Well, here's the question. When did God adopt a Hebrew mindset? Because I thought the words that were in this book were His words, not any one Jew's words. They were God's words. God was not writing in a Hebrew mindset when He gave these men the words that He wanted them to put down. Because God's not Hebrew. Okay? Christ was a Jew. God the Father was not. It is God's word. It is Jesus was doing the will of His Father, not the will of the Jews. Jesus came to save all mankind, not bring them to learn how to speak Yiddish and Hebrew words, learn gematria. have a Passover Seder, which 9/10 of it, from what I can see, does not even come from the Bible. That's the one of the cores of the Hebrew Roots movement, is you got to live after the manner of the Jews. If you really want to understand this the way it originally would have been said and originally would have been understood, then you must go back, study out the traditions of the Jews. And we were warned specifically against that. Jesus himself said, you've made vain the commandments of God by your what? Exact same word, traditions. Now people are going to come to you and say, you know, you've got to do this. You've got to live after the manner of the Jews. And you've got to keep the feasts. And you've got to say these Hebrew words. And you've got to think the way Hebrew does. You just open up your canon King James Bible and read this to them. Why compellest thou the Gentiles to live as do the Jews? Okay? And here's what they're going to do. More than likely, they've been inoculated against this verse. By that, I'm saying they've been given a sort of like a stock teaching that they probably memorized. They watched the video over and over. They probably memorized how to answer this verse with some kind of, well, you need to understand, Paul was addressing this people over here. There was a situation here that had come up, and Paul was, and you say, where is that in the Bible? Show me that in the Bible. And just say, well, I don't know what you're saying or where that comes from, but it says right here, why compellest thou the Gentiles to live as do the Jews? Just keep going back to Scripture. And just say, well, the Scripture says this, the Scripture says this, the Scripture says this. Eventually, they'll find out that you've been inoculated against them. You've got a shield called faith. Not faith in what man teaches, but faith in exactly what this book says without my help or anybody else's. You just point to the, say, well, this is what I believe right here. Now, verse 15, here's why Paul said that. This is what we're going to get into, probably not going to get anywhere near done. This study I was doing last night, putting this together, I wasn't sure what direction I was going to take the Bible study today, and God just kind of laid this on my heart. It was good for me, okay? It was good for me. Because, you know, we all, living this life that we're trying to live, and yeah, I want to be clean. I want to be decent. I want to be holy. I want to be the man of God. No doubt about it, okay? But I'm not kidding you. This wicked mind, this wicked flesh, and everything that goes, the pride that goes along with it, everything like that, man, I hate it, okay? And you get this, number one, the reason why I don't like the supposed alleged law keepers is that they're all about condemnation. They condemn everybody except themselves. And I don't need help from people condemning myself, okay? I mean, I get help from a devil, but I don't need someone else's help condemning me, okay? Because I can get into that pretty easy. And really, the best thing to bring me out of it is the Word of God. And this is kind of the hope that I have for you today, is that you can, you know, God forgives you, other people forgive you, but there are some things you don't forgive yourself very easily. Things you said to people is just, I said something on a school bus in 1982 or 3, that to this day I cringe in remembrance of saying it. Okay? To this day, I hate myself for saying what I said. I didn't tell you. Okay? But I hate it. And you just, the devil likes to get you to go back and dig up all the old bones and all the old stuff out of the, you know, things you used to do, things you say, think, be a part of, whatever. He likes to bring that condemnation down on you. He is the accuser of the brethren. Here's your defense against that. Verse 15, we who are Jews by nature and not sinners of the Gentiles, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ. Paul was a Jew, and he said, we Jews, we're not sinners of the Gentiles. We had the law. We had the oracles. We tried to keep Torah. We're not saved by our law keeping. We're justified by our faith in Jesus Christ. and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. There it is right there. And when these people come at you with, and I don't care if it's Hebrew roots, I don't care if it's any of us fundamentalists saying, well, you know, your hair's too long, your dress is too short, and you need to cut out this, you need to quit doing this. And I don't, listen, I don't mind morality and rules and a way of life. I don't mind that at all. But when we use them to replace the gospel and the grace of Almighty God, do we not forget? See, I'm a fundamentalist at heart. But I don't, and I won't say I don't, God doesn't let me get by with chastising others because they don't have the rules that I have for my life or my family or church or whatever, because sometimes I don't keep those rules either. Be honest, okay? I mean, I try hard. But this is why we can't be justified by the works of the law. The way God sees it, we don't do the works of the law. Not the way God sees it. Not Ezekiel 33, where he said, "Day that a righteous man transgresses, all his righteousnesses are gone." So the moment you coveted, got full of pride, didn't have faith, whatever it was, all your works of righteousness are gone. You cannot be justified. This justification here is a legal terminology. Let me give you an application. I'll give you this is the law of the state of Missouri. They have what's called a castle law. And a castle law is, in the state of Missouri, there's an understanding in the law that if someone comes into your house at 3 o'clock in the morning while you're all in bed, there's an understanding that he's not there to sell you a vacuum cleaner or to check your thermostats. Okay? He is there to do harm to your house, your family, your property. According to the law of the state of Missouri, if such a case exists, you have the right to use lethal force. Which means if somebody walks in your bedroom in the middle of the night and you don't know who they are, okay, you don't have to stop and ask them, "What is thy purpose here?" You don't, okay? Especially if you see a weapon, you can shoot them dead. The police will come out and investigate, and they will rule it justified. Why? Because it was in self-defense of home, family, and property. That's the law. And I don't know exactly all the little specifics of it. But if someone comes breaking in your house, getting in through the window 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, or you come home, there was a lady that she was home with her boys. And a guy broke into their house, broad daylight. And she called her husband. She said, "Grab the boys, go in the closet." And she heard that guy rooting around. And he told her, "Honey, you remembered that gun." She pulled a gun. And when that guy opened that closet door, she blew him to stand before Almighty God. Okay? You know what was there, don't you? She did. And it was justified. Why? Because that man was in that house stealing. And there's no telling what he would have done. We don't have to wait to see what he will do in the house. I'm spending a lot of time on this. But anyway, I'm giving you the idea of justified. Her crime of taking a human life does not fit in the category of the crime because she was doing it in defense of her home, her person, her boys, and her property. Okay? That's justifiable killing is what it is. Okay? That may not resound with everybody, but that's the law. They're not going to penalize that woman. They're not going to throw her in prison for 20 years. They're not going to give her a lethal injection for that. She does not have to pay a penalty, a fine. She is justified in those things. All right? So there are some things under the law that when a person does, they can be justified by the law. All right? But in the case of, let's say that the guy that came in was her lover. Okay? And she told the cops that he was there. She has no idea who he was. He was there breaking in and he was going to, you know, kill her. No, uh-uh. She was just, because he was going to go tell his wife and everybody on Facebook, and she shot him and killed him. Okay? She's not going to get out of that. Okay? Here's the thing. Justification means there's no condemnation and that the action of the person in question was just, which means it followed the parameters of the law. It fit within the guidelines of the statutes and the judgments. Okay? And here's the thing. When you lied, when you coveted, when you committed adultery, when you killed, when you dishonored your father and mother, when all these commandments that we've been given not to do, when you did them, you are guilty before Almighty God. You're going to stand in court for it. And there was no place under the law that God gave to Moses that allowed for that person's sins, that person's crimes, for him to just get away with it, with the exception of the substitutionary sacrificial atonement. In the Old Testament, it was a foreshadowing of the cross. It was not a replacement for the cross. It was a foreshadowing of the cross. Very important to remember. And now, you and I, since there is no justification for sins committed by the law, someone must be punished for what has been done. Christ took the punishment. God accepted his sacrifice as payment, and those who put their trust in Christ and his substitutional atonement are now, even though they have committed the violations of the law and are under the terms of the law, guilty because they did it. Okay? You did it. God's writing, there's an angel writing it all down. God's going to read a book with all your stuff in it. Okay? First time I heard that, I was a kid. And I got scared. I'm going, no, I don't want that. I was a kid and I didn't want that. Okay? And here's what I'm telling you. Christ substitute, him being in our place for our crimes and sins, has been accepted by God, and God will then take our sins and our violations, our transgressions of God's law. He will take them and they go away. They're covered in the blood. They go away, and now you and I are justified, which means that because the price has been paid, the fine, the penalty, or whatever has been taken care of, you and I cannot be judicially punished for our transgressions. God cannot give us the death penalty, second death penalty. Can't do it. Double jeopardy. We have double jeopardy here in America. Prosecutor tries to, O.J. Simpson. Go after O.J. Simpson. Killed his wife. Killed her boyfriend. Okay? Jury found him not guilty. It's over with. According to the law, it's over with. No judge and prosecutor and jury can drag him back into court on this same charge and say, we got new evidence. Okay? Doesn't matter what you got. It's thrown out. You cannot, the government, the state cannot go back twice on the same crime. If it lost the case the first time, lost the appeals, they can't go back. It's over with, done with. In the case of God, once the sins have been justified, the devil can't go back. And he's the accuser of the brethren. He can't dig up the old stuff and say, I'm going to get you with this. Oh, it's been time coming. I'm going to get you. Boy, I'm going to get you with this. Okay? He can't do it. God won't allow it. God won't then, and the devil says, well, look what he did today. God, look what he did today. That's just like what he did 4 years ago. God says, what's your point? Well, yeah, see, he's still doing it. You should get him for all that stuff. No, I'm sorry. Done with. Over. Okay? Justification. I can't bring him back. Once those sins are gone, they're gone. They've been rolled away, covered, cast into the sea, far as the east is from the west. Okay? Can't touch you anymore. That doesn't make us like John Gotti going, yeah, I got by with it. I'm going to go do some more. They don't make God's people like that. God's people, it humbles them. It makes them weep at night. It makes them realize they don't think they're lucky. They don't think they're untouchable. They don't think they can do whatever they want to. They wonder why a God would love them so much. It's to just send His only begotten Son as a substitute for what you and I should have received for our own sins. He didn't do anything wrong. Neither did that lamb they brought in Passover. That lamb didn't do anything wrong. That's the substitutionary atonement. And that is what provides our justification. Let me read this again. Knowing that a man, this verse 16, Galatians 2, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law. You just underline that. You write that down on pieces of paper all over your house. Put them in your car. Okay? Make a little screensaver out of it for your phone. Man is not justified by the works of the law, period. But by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh, he didn't say Jew, he didn't say Gentile, he didn't say nobody in this dispensation, he didn't say that. No flesh can be justified by the works of the law. And I'll just ask you this. How many criminal offenses does it take for a judge to issue a warrant? How many criminal offenses do you have in order for you to be in danger of being found guilty of the law? Even in our current judicial system, one homicide, that'll do it. One liquor store robbery, okay? One candy store robbery, I don't want to bring that up again, okay? One sin. That's all it takes. But we know that you and I have done way more than that. This is the reason why, who was it? It came to Jesus broken. And He forgave her of all of her sins. And Jesus commented, it might have been Mary Magdalene, might have been some other woman. But He said, she's loved me more because she's been forgiven more. She knows what she's been released from. That's why she loves me more. Okay? And the devil and maybe old friends or family members or whatever will always try to beat on you. And the do-gooders, the people who are all about doing, okay? They will boast on works and they will boast against you and say, look at what I do, how come you don't do what I do? How come you don't? If you live this way, God would really bless you. And you can just say to Him, I don't see how God has blessed me already. Okay? But He has. And I'm just always telling people, if you like us here at Bethel Church, if you like me, if you like, let's say 80% of the things I say, okay? Those things were given to me by grace. I did not deserve them. I did not earn them. I've not worked my way up to receive them. I do not, through the things I do, and have not, through the things that I have done, pleased God. But one day, God just, all this life of living in church, I came, went to an altar at 9, I believe I was saved. But one day, it became real. And I looked at this book and I said, God, I believe what You said in here. I don't have a choice. I run out of everything else. God, I believe what You said in this book. Okay? That's it. I just believe the book and God just keeps piling it on. And I love Him for that. I love Him for it. I don't get what I deserve. Not anywhere near it. I get grace because I believe and I trust what this book says. Take a couple of minutes and just run through some justification verses. Job 25:4, the Bible says, how then can a man be justified with God? It's a good question, okay? because here's God way up here and here's man down here, and we do all these bad things that God says don't do. Okay, how can we be justified with God? Or how can he be clean that is born of a woman? And I'm not going to get, you know, offensive or anything here like that, but I was with my wife when she gave birth to children, and I'm just going, okay? That is not clean, tell you that right now, all right? And I think that's what he's saying. How can he be clean that is born of a woman? It's not derogatory to women. It's just how things are, okay? When the baby's born, you got to clean that thing up first, okay? So anyway, Psalm 143:1, hear my prayer, O Lord, give ear to my supplications. In thy faithfulness answer me, and in thy righteousness. Enter not into judgment with thy servant, for in thy sight shall no man living be justified. You know what David's saying? Or maybe this is David, I don't know. You know what he's saying here? Lord, please don't take just my sins against me. Because the truth is, God, I'm not any different than anybody else. And I realize, God, that in your sight, no man can be justified. No man can come to you and say, God, I deserve this. You have to give it to me. I've earned it. I've said the magic words. I sowed the seed into so-and-so's ministry. He said I would get it 100-fold. So, Lord, I'm waiting for my check. I confess that. That's verse 3, for the enemy hath persecuted my soul. Right? He hath smitten my life down to the ground. He hath made me to dwell in darkness as those that have been long dead. Therefore is my spirit overwhelmed within me. My heart within me is desolate. Now I'll tell you this, your enemies, whether it's fake friend, family, or spirits, they will come to you at certain times and they will try to drag you down into condemnation, either by what you did years ago, decades ago, 20 minutes ago, what you're doing now. They will drag you into that condemnation and say, see, you can't do it, can't do it, can't do it. You'll never be anything. You'll never change. You'll never get better. They'll do that. Friends will do that. Family members will do that. Devils will tell you all day long, you're no good. You're never going to do this. You're never going to live right. You're never going to be as holy as God requires. Well, they're right. They're right. Never going to be. And who gets to boast? Which one of us in Bible Christianity gets to boast about what we do? Because even the best Christians in the world sin one time. So who gets to boast? Okay, and that you read Romans 1, 2, 3, 4, or 5. That's what it's all about. Okay? Hey, you guys teaching the law. You say, yeah, adulterers out there, y'all going to hell because you committed adultery. And you didn't? Remember what Jesus said, right? Hey, you thieves, you should get your hands cut off and burn in hell because you're all thieves. You stole things. You don't live right. And you never took anything that didn't belong to you? Never lusted after something your neighbor had? So those of you who condemn others, what did you do? See, the Holy Ghost will do that. If you're a child of God, the Holy Ghost will go, remember that? I was there when you said that the other day. I was there when you thought that the other day. When you saw that, you looked at that the other day. You pulled that up the other day. I was there. You're going to condemn them? You're going to condemn them while I give you a free pass? Okay? See, that's what it's all about. Sin is the great equalizer in that there is none righteous, no, not one. We forget that as fundamentalist Christians. We forget it. We forget the fact that no one is righteous, even the way we try to live our lifestyles. I don't smoke and chew and I don't run with those that do. Okay, but what do you do? And I've been condemned by people who picked apart what they thought my life was and then bragged about how they didn't do the things that they accused me of doing. And I'm just going, okay? All that means to me is you didn't put in the part about what you did do. Because I know it's there. I know it's there. There isn't anybody where it isn't there. Okay? Nobody can be justified in the sight of God by their own works. And so the enemy will come in and they will beat you on that issue. Okay? Let's see here. Let me give you some good stuff before I get out of here. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Much more then, being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. Not as it was by one that sinned, so was the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. Romans 5:18, therefore as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. The righteousness of how many? How many people? How many times does it take for you to be righteous and to do righteous deeds in order for you to attain God's justification? The truth is, you can't. The justification of one and only one. When we get to heaven, they will not be blowing trumpets as you walk in the door saying, boy, we saw the things you did. That was awesome, man. Jesus was going, man, I'm kind of jealous here. That is not going to happen. We're going to get there, and we're going to bow before the one who was holy, like we want to be, and who justified us. And I'm going to teach this next week. When we tried to justify ourselves, that's dangerous. And we've done it. Okay? We've done it. So we'll talk about that next week, all right? That's where my heart is today. Okay? The devil tries to condemn you. You just pop open a can of fresh oil. Smells like honey and milk. Tastes like milk. And smells like the rose of Sharon. Open up that fresh can of King James Bible and read it to him. Okay? Oh, he'll hate that. He don't like that. And God will soothe your soul over yourself. And you know what? And I promise you, you won't get cocky. You'll start bawling and crying and say, God, who am I? Okay? All right? That's the good word for today. I love you. Okay? You just take that. Get the Pure Bible Search software. Type in JUSTIF*. Just start going through the Bible. Okay? God will fill your soul with His justification, giving you Christ's righteousness. All right? Love you. Pray for us. Pray for our work and our ministry. And why don't you join us for church Wednesday night, Sunday morning, Sunday night, watchbethelchurch.com. We'll see you next time. Bye-bye.